a greater part, I should say, missions, and see our church go forward in doing greater things in the cause of getting the gospel out. So I ask you to be praying for him as he comes. I'm thankful that the Lord has raised him up, and as well as the other preachers here, and all the aspects of ministry that are going on. And I just give God the praise for it. But please, let's be praying for him in service. All right, my brother.
As Brother Head said, we're going to start this series. You can be turning your Bibles back. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. And while he's turning there, I'll just go ahead and the estimation, I guess, if everything goes on target, this will probably last 5 to 6 weeks. If part ones and part twos turn out, it'll probably be a little longer. But just to kind of give you an outline of where we're headed, tonight we're going to be covering the responsibility of missions. Lord helping us, we'll cover the reach of missions in another sermon, the risk of missions, the ripple of missions, the reaping of missions, and then the reward of missions. So just be in prayer as we're headed there. I mean, like as Brother Head said, it's already for me has been a great blessing just learning things that I didn't know already. So Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says here, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? The kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to focus in, Lord. May we focus in on your word and what it has for us tonight. May we search our hearts, Lord, and ask ourselves, are we responsibly involved in missions? Lord, I thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for this opportunity. Hide me behind your cross. In Jesus' name, amen. I think if we was to take a poll today, that we would all say that we, at times, feel responsible. I think there's probably some of us who could raise our hands that at times or sometimes or another that we've probably been called irresponsible. There may be others like me who just say, I'm just thankful enough that I know that I'm responsible enough that I can say, I know when I'm acting irresponsible. You know, there's different layers of responsibility for us and where we are in life. I know as a kid, right, when we're growing up, the first thing we want to do is we want to get our driver's license, you know. We want that responsibility. Or we want to turn 18. Or we want to turn 21. We want to get to the age where nobody can tell us what to do. And then as we get to 18 and as we get our license, we start paying for car insurance or we start making a car payment. Or we get to 18 and we find out, or 21, and we find out what it's really like to be out on our own. We learn to hate the responsibility and then wish that we was back home with our parents, no driver's license, and no responsibilities. And, you know, responsibility can be one of those things that we sometimes really desire, and it sounds good to us, but once we get it, we really don't want it. You know, and in this opportunity to do this series on missions, the prayer is that we find out where we really responsibly, are we really responsible with the call that we have on our lives to missions? The prayer is that we walk away from this series knowing where we are, where we should be, how do we get there, what effects does it have, and what is the true rewards of missions. Tonight, like I said, our focus is going to be on the responsibility of missions. And before we get into the responsibility of missions, I thought it would be best to give a quick overview of the book of Acts. Not in total, just its purpose. You know, the book of Acts served as a great book for any members or Christians in the local New Testament church. You know, the last gospel that we have of the Synoptic Gospels is the Gospel of John. As we close out the Gospel of John, we see this, that Jesus is talking to Simon, right? And he's telling Simon, feed my sheep. Simon, feed my sheep. And then as we come to the end of that, John says that books couldn't even be written. None of the world could contain all the things which Jesus Christ has done. Then we go to Romans chapter 1. And we see this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, right? And here's Paul writing an epistle to the church at Rome. Without the book of Acts, we don't have this bridge to see how the church has grown. How did we get to the point where Saul, the persecutor of the church, is now being called Paul, and now is writing an epistle, a deep theological book to the church at Rome? How did he get there? Well, Acts is this bridge. Acts shows us how the expansion of the church happened. And it fills in the gap for us how we even see all these different epistles being written later on in the New Testament. So as we cover this responsibility of missions, we see this. Luke says here in verse 2 of Acts that the Lord was taken up, that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles.
Right.
Commandments what? That they should go. Commandments that they should be witnesses. That they should preach the gospel to every creature. Missions is one of the most exciting opportunities that the church has. Yeah. It is the way that the church, is the way that the Lord has laid out the expansion of the church.
Right.
By missionaries preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, people's lives are changed, baptized, and added to the church. Missions is the conduit in which the Lord designed, and in Acts we see it being used for the expansion of the church. Happening no other way than the outreach of the church preaching the gospel. Missions is not a call to the church. It's not a call to you personally. Missions is not a spiritual gift that rests inside of us. It is a command from the Lord.
Amen.
To his church. The Great Commission was not given only for the apostles, but it was given to the whole church. The Bible lets us know in Ephesians 19 and 20, that now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being himself the chief cornerstone. And we know this, as we're looking at the church being built here in Acts chapter 2. We're looking at the command that Christ gave to the church, and Christ being the chief cornerstone. And you know, as you're building a house or you've seen a house built, nobody builds a cornerstone, the primary support from the house, from the basement all the way to the roof. That's not how it works. The cornerstone is the anchor point. Then we see here in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, that the apostles laid the foundation. You know, if you were to walk outside the building right now, for those who was involved in building this building, you'll know what I'm speaking of. But when the foundation was laid, if you walk out here and look down the ramp, you'll see the concrete comes all the way halfway up, and then it stops. The foundation was poured, and then on top of the foundation, the rest of the building was built. The apostles were the foundation that was laid out, the educational source, the laying out, let's say, the source that Christ had given us to lay out the church, and how the gospel was going to be spread, and how they was going to make more disciples. And the command was to make more disciples so that the gospel would continue to spread. He said in here in Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses. He charged them. Ye shall be witnesses of me. And so they were. In the book of Acts, we find the apostles and the disciples preaching the truth, and the gospel spread like wildfire. It spread across oceans, it spread across lakes, across countries. In the age of no Facebook Live, in an age of no internet, in the age of no cell phone, we see countries turning to Christ because of the missions in the church. How? Missions in the church. Christ said, go, and they willingly went. As you read Acts, you will see that people went door to door. They went out in the name of the church. They worked as the representatives of Christ on the commission that they was fulfilling through the work of the church. The Lord told them, you shall be witnesses. And they were excited to be his witness.
Amen.
Our lives are so short. We have so little time to win a soul winner's crowd. We have all of eternity to look at the reward of it, but so little time to earn it. So little time. There were no excuses in Acts chapter 1 that we read of like we hear of today. I hear so many times that we don't go out on visitation because we're soul winners at work. I'm a soul winner at work, so I don't need to go out on visitation. You know what? And that's good. We should be soul winners everywhere we go. There's not somebody who should bump into us that say, hey, he doesn't know Christ, lest we look like hypocrites.
Right.
So we have this command to go. And so many times we see these people, oh, I'm a soul winner everywhere I go. Why do I need to go to the church? Because this is how the Lord designed it.
Right.
And even here in Acts chapter 1, they gathered together, right? And they went out. And they prayed, and they went out. You know, we live in a day, in an age, where people are embarrassed to preach the gospel. And they say they do, and they say they're excited to go out and preach the gospel, but they don't. They say they preach the gospel at their work, but in truth, they really don't. They don't want to upset the apple cart, so to say. Matter of fact, I'm saying that if many times that if one of them was to die and their pastor was to preach their sermon at their funeral, and he heard that the people that they worked with heard that they were faithful members of the church, many of their co-workers may even get up and stand up just to see that they're at the right funeral. Because they have never heard of Christ. I don't want that to be said. And neither should we want that to be said of us. They were called to be witnesses. And they were excited to be it. Truth be told, skipping visitation because you witness at work makes about as much sense as not tithing because you gave money to a man underneath the bridge. Or skipping church because you read your Bible at home. It just makes no sense. This is how the Lord designed it. He even covered this right in the Gospels, right? He said the one we hear the most is Matthew 28, right? 19, go. That's how it starts. Go. Now, for me, that makes it simple because I heard that word a lot as a kid. When my mother said, go, you didn't stay around and say, but I wanted to tell you something. Unless you was trying to schedule an appointment with the Board of Education meeting the seat of understanding. When she said go, you went. Didn't matter where you went, but you was gone. And for me, so when I read Matthew chapter 28, it says go, it literally means go.
Amen.
It's not a question like, hey, can you? No, it's go. Be witnesses of me. Be witnesses of me. It's a command that rests upon us if you're saved. We cannot get caught up in this worldly stuff that we hear today. Well, I am too nervous. I don't speak very well. I just don't like it. Well, it's tough for me because I don't like the time that it's at either. I stutter at times and my brain seems to get so confused. Listen, it doesn't take any words at all to hand out a gospel tract. It doesn't take any words at all to be present and show your presence in this community and say, what are the people from the Wing Place Baptist Church out doing? They're out preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
the Lord sent them out two by two. Maybe that was for a better sharpening, for working to see how things were handled. But it was a command to go. I can tell you this. Peter made mistakes, not only before Pentecost, but even after Pentecost. But you know what? The Lord was there helping him. Peter, Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, said of him, people said of him that his speech was contemptible, and yet what did we find him praying in Ephesians 6, 19 and 20? And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Two-thirds of the New Testament, and he struggled. You're not going to arrive one day and all of a sudden have all the boldness in the world to not get confused at times, to not make mistakes, to not stutter, to not stumble. I've walked away many times saying, I should have said this, I should have said that, I should have said this, but hey, I've not walked away saying, I didn't say nothing. That's the problem. We can't neglect our responsibility. Well, I understand, but he is Paul, and the Lord helped him. Well, you know what? Many today won't even speak up in the church today. Many won't even speak up to see if the Lord will even help them. Beloved, when the time came, the Lord gave them the words, and he strengthened them. Just read Acts chapter 2. We cannot make soul winning about who is great, who is a great man, or who is a great woman. Oh, that they have the gift to talk. They have the gift to speak. They just know how to relate to people. They just know how to talk to people. It's not about, are you an Amy Carmichael? It's not about, are you an Eric Liddell? It's not, are you an Adoniram Judson? Or one of the great missionaries of times present or times past. It's about one thing. There is a great God who sent his only son to die on the cross for us. There needs nothing to be great inside of you to say that. The only exceptional thing about those people was they knew their responsibility and they were dedicated to it. Amen. They were dedicated to preaching the gospel. The responsibility was to preach the gospel to every creature at all costs. And they was going to do it, but not alone. With the help of the Holy Spirit. Moving was not easy. Doing it was not easy. But they did it because it was their call. It was the call given to all of the disciples and the apostles and to the Lord's local New Testament church. It's in the name of the Holy Spirit that they even was able to do the things that they did. The only thing that has changed today in the world is the dedication to the Great Commission. Our dedication has wavered. And this isn't condemning. This is convicting even of myself. It's not easy to come. It's not easy to get here. We all work. We all have jobs. We all get stressed out. We all have home issues. We all have things going on. But this does not mean we have the right to neglect our call. Man. That's a command. Brothers and sisters, we need to realize what we're facing today when we hear all these excuses. There is a battle for your mind. There's a battle for it. You're an introvert. You would make a good soul winner because you're an introvert. You're not a very good speaker. You don't have time today. Well, you're just doing the Lord's work, but you're doing it in another ministry. You're tired and you need rest. You deserve rest this day. This is the only day that you get to yourself. Plus, the last time you went, you know, Sister Sue didn't even wave at you, and Brother Billy Bob didn't invite you to dinner afterwards, and you would have went. Really? There is a battle for your mind. This is nothing more than the prince and the power of the air looking at you and saying, what crutch can I give you to neglect the responsibility that Christ has laid upon you?
Amen.
As if he can't help you when he can. There is nothing that you battle that Christ cannot overcome.
Amen.
He can give you strength. He can give you words. And he can give you rest. But if you're too busy for God, then you're just too busy.
Right.
Something's got to go. It's our responsibility. We cannot rationalize and compartmentalize about who is responsible. But at the end of the day, if you're saved, your responsibility is missions. So then who is responsible for missions? The entire church is.
Right.
No missionary sections in the church? The entire church is a mission. The only thing that changes in the area is the area to which you are called. Period. Secondly, responsibility is knowing the priority. Responsibility is in knowing its priority within the church. What's the priority of missions inside the church? Acts 1, verses 6 and 7. When they therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So here Christ is getting ready to ascend, and here the apostles are again asking, Lord, is it time to restore the kingdom to Israel? And oftentimes we get upset with the apostles like we're anything different. Like, you're asking this question again? But you know, the Lord didn't respond back to the apostles. The apostles in a condemning way. And I don't even think at this time we should respond to the apostles in a condemning way. Because prior, after Christ's resurrection, the Bible says in Luke 24:45 that he opened their understanding that they may understand the scriptures. The apostles at this point understand that there is a coming restoration of the kingdom of Israel. They understand there is something coming. Lord, is it now at this time? We understand what the scripture says. You've showed us all these different things. Is it now time for the restoration? That's what they're asking. But the Lord acknowledged that. There is a coming restoration. But the Lord said to the apostles, the things that are to come are not your priority right now.
Right.
It's not your priority. Your priority right now, brothers and sisters, as he told them, is to be witnesses of me. Don't worry about the coming kingdom. Don't worry about the restoration of the kingdom. Oftentimes, we fall prey to this ourselves. We chase rabbits in the Bible. Not saying that it's wrong, right? Not saying it's wrong to understand and want to know more about the Bible. But to spend relentless hours trying to chase down what the last location of the ark is so we can find out where it is in our own opinion. And trying to find out where Noah's ark is. And I'm saying these are good studies. But what I'm saying it's not a good study is when you skip visitation for it. That's wrong. When you miss the opportunity to go soul winning for things that don't pertain to our charge right now, it's wrong.
Man.
That's what he tells them. Hey, the restoration of the kingdom's coming. I understand. But right now, be witnesses of me. That's the number one goal. Why? Because Christ's number one goal was what? To seek and to save that which was lost so that his Father may be glorified so that the church could be built. That's the goal. It's not about where the ark is. It's not about where the Noah's ark is. It's not about where the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. It's none of those things. Those God's business. I'm interested. Hey, I've watched documentaries on it. But we cannot let it make us miss our number one call.
Amen.
So what is it for us? It's top priority. Leave the things of this world to the world. And for us, the things that are in the scriptures, we must search out. Search the things that God has given for us, but never, never, never neglect our primary responsibility to preach the word. Thirdly, notice the responsibility of seeing the true power in missions. He says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the conflict of our age. And it was the working of the Holy Ghost that even made them witnesses. He is the one that gave them boldness. He is the one that gave them the words. Remember what happened in Luke in the chapter. Remember what happened in the end of the chapter of Luke, when the disciples' hearts were so broken that Christ had died. And then they show up at the tomb, and guess what? The tomb's empty. And here they are, they're traveling down on the road of Emmaus, right? They're traveling down on the road of Emmaus, and their hearts were so heavy at the death of Christ. And now even more, because the tomb was empty. And then Jesus came alongside of them, right, and explained to them the scriptures. And the Bible says, as he explained the scriptures to them, the Bible says in Luke 24:32, that their hearts began to burn. Peter said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us by the way? And while he opened the scriptures to us? All these things have been made known to them. Their hearts are on fire. They're ready to preach. They're ready to go. But what does the Lord say? Wait. You're ready to go. You have the knowledge, but you do not have the power. Wait for the power. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And they were on fire, and they were ready to preach, and they were ready to go, but the Lord did not want them to go without the power, because it's not their power, it's the Lord's. If they was to take all the knowledge that they had and started beating the streets would eventually beat them, because they did not have the power, the lifeline, to be successful in missions. That's the Holy Spirit. Well, many say that I've never felt the Lord show up so that I can go and be a missionary. No, that's the wrong order. The Lord showed up while they were already out. The Lord poured out upon them at the day of Pentecost, not 12 days earlier. It was when he was needed, he was there. And you know what? It's the same for us. When we need him, he is still there. I'm not saying tomorrow walk up to somebody that speaks a different language and try to share the gospel with them and see if they walk away from you and say, well, you didn't give me the power to speak in tongues. I must not be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what? I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that's not going to work. You know, when the original foundation was being laid, when the original cornerstone was being laid, there were some things that happened that will never be duplicated again. Matter of fact, another example, if you was here when we was building the building, when they dug this foundation out, they used really big backhoes. Really big backhoes. And when they poured the concrete, they used really big pieces of equipment to pour the concrete. But those big backhoes are not the same backhoes that they used to frame these walls and hang the drywall and put the shingles on, because it would have destroyed it. The foundation that has been laid has already been laid. So, what does it mean for us? Yeah, don't expect to go out and speak another language. But the Lord knows us to give us a resource to preach his word. And if there's somebody from another country that's on your heart, find a way. There's a way. There's a way. But it doesn't mean that we should only go out if we experience the things that the apostles did. That was solely during the apostolic era and will never be seen again. Though people try to recreate it, it's false. It is false. In Acts chapter 2, we find this. After the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost, we find this. In preparation first to fill in the Holy Ghost, after they had understanding of Scriptures, we find Peter operating with his understanding of Scriptures. At the end of Acts chapter 1, we find Peter leading the charge to replace Judas. And what does he do? He references the Old Testament. He references, now he has this understanding. Hey, David prophesied of these things. Matter of fact, if you go to Acts chapter 2, when he was filled with the Holy Ghost and he was preaching on the day of Pentecost, what do we find Peter preaching? Out of the book of Joel. The power of missions rested on two things alone: Scripture and the Holy Ghost. And it's still true today. We cannot save anyone. We cannot make anyone turn from their sin. We cannot convict anyone. But we can preach both. Many say that methods must be changed, more carnivals, more festivals. And I say the Lord saved 5,000 on the day of Pentecost using this very method, truth and trust.
Amen.
And they were added to the church, these 5,000. They were added to an already existing church of 120. Well, why don't you have festivals? Well, because there's no reason for it. There's no reason for it. The Lord didn't use them in the Old Testament to add to the church, and we don't need it today. The reasons the church are not growing today is solely because of Christians neglecting their responsibility. They do not have the heart to see the church grow. True church growth comes when the church gets back to soul winning. Well, you know, yes, I know one of the amazing, one of the most amazing moments that you can experience in your Christian life is when you see the Lord make the unregenerate heart aware of his sins and save them. Notice this, the responsibility in the order of missions. There's an order given here. It says, but ye shall receive power. In verse 8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The order is given here by, first, Jerusalem. This is home base. This is where they were. I look at it this way. How effective is missions going to be out in the world? How effective are we going to be at supporting missions all across the world if the church here is crumbling while all our missionaries are out there? Because we're more worried about putting a dollar in the plate and keeping them working over here, and we're not working here. What's going to happen? It's going to collapse upon itself. Because we're not focused on Jerusalem. In order to be a mission-minded, missionary-sending church, we must first be focused on Jerusalem. Amen. Because without Jerusalem, we will not be a missionary-minded, missionary-sending church. Amen. And that's what we should be.
Amen.
Then, in all of Judea, don't pick and choose, right? Get it all. Meaning this, don't do wit and place and then say, you know what? We've already done wit and place 3 times. Let's go be missionaries in Kenwood, Hyde Park, and Indian Hill, right? We shouldn't be selective about where we're going to go for a reason. Because they're rich, because they're wealthy. He said, go in all of Judea. We're going to go in all of it, not just a little bit of it. We're going to do it all.
Amen.
And to evangelize specifically just areas targeted with our own desires. And he says Samaria too. But when I think of Samaria, I just can't get past that the Samaritans are the Jews' enemies. You know what? We're going to be evangelists to our enemies too. We're going to preach the gospel to our enemies too. Those who we're at odds with need to know that Christ has radically changed our life. And then he says, to the uttermost parts of the earth. What does that leave? No excuse. There's too much there. Where in there did it leave a place for us to rest and say, I don't need to be a missionary? Nowhere. He says, then the uttermost parts of the earth. Notice also this, the responsibility for unity in the outreach of missions. In verse 14, it says, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and the Mary mother, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. Okay, I copied that over, didn't look right, but it's right. Okay. At this time, prior to the day of Pentecost, we find 120 members in the church, according to verse 15. And in verse 14, the Bible lets us know that we find the apostles and the women praying with one mind, with one accord, and they were excited and they were charged. And what were they in one mind and one accord of? They were in one mind and one accord that God had put a call upon their life.
Amen.
To preach the gospel. This is what they were excited about. This is one of the greatest things about corporate soul winning. Yes. When you come here and we get down and we pray and we say, Lord, we're going out today. Give us the power. We can't do it without you. When we say, Lord, we can't do it without you. This is the iron sharpens iron. And while I'm out, I'm saying, hey, brother, hey, what about this? Hey, Brother Marsford, hey, brother. We're asking each other questions and we're sharpening each other and we're learning more. And we're learning how to share the gospel.
Amen.
And we're becoming more effective soul winners. But the reason that they were so effective in soul winning was they were united in the decision and they were fully dedicated to getting the Great Commission out. And they were praying that God would help all 120 do it. And guess what? The very next day, 5,000 were saved. But they were united. They were focused. It was their job, and they wanted it. They wanted to be soul winners for the Lord. Notice this also. The responsibility of making more disciples.
Amen.
Verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs to have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers in Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in the proper tongue, Akeldamia, that word, read it, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now, obviously, we're out of the apostolic era, right? But this is still a key lesson for us, right? Even in the midst of everything that was going on, we find the apostles following what scriptures had said. They said, hey, there was another one that's supposed to take his position. And the Lord told them, let it be Matthias. For us, as Christians, obviously, we're not ordaining any apostles unless we want to live in heresy, but that's not where we want to be. But the deal is this. We should be focused on discipling more people so that they can disciple more people, so that they can disciple more people, so that the gospel can be spread, and so that it can leave Witten Place, and so that that back wall can grow, and the wall can continue to grow, where this place right here, the Witten Place Baptist Church, the Lord has allowed us to take part in this ministry of preaching and teaching and educating more disciples so that more missionaries will be sent from here so that God will continue to pour out upon this church.
Amen.
This is what the scriptures has given us. This is what the apostles were doing. They said, hey, we're going to continue on. The question is for us today, brothers and sisters, is what is it going to take for you to get personally involved in the Great Commission that the Lord had commanded to the church? What's it going to take? C.T. Studd said this in closing. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that you'll keep your scriptures upon my heart, Lord. Challenge me, Lord. Show me where I need to be, Lord. If I see someone, Lord, and it be your will, Lord, lead me to them. Give me the words to say, Lord. Make me a mission-minded man, Lord. Make the Witten Place Baptist Church a mission-minded church. May we not forget, this is not a responsibility. This is the responsibility. This is not